So let me begin today with two deep, possibly troubling questions. And they are regarding heaven and hell, the eternal realm. Would you know it if you were being deceived by Satan? I want you to think about that for a moment. Would you know it if you were being deceived by Satan? And if so, how would you know it? I mean, after all, you're deceived. So if you're deceived, would you know I'm deceived? Deception. The use of deceit, a ruse, a trick, to fall for a lie. Does everyone go to heaven? Who goes to hell? Would you know if you were deceived? And how would you know? Who would want to deceive you? I mean, these are real questions for the world today. Who would want to deceive you? And who would want to trick you? And who would take the time and effort to replace the truth with a ruse or a lie? Who would want to replace the truth with a lie to deceive you and lead you into a great deadly deception? Jesus reveals the answer to these deadly questions about spiritual deception. It is today's topic, and it's a difficult topic. Jesus reveals the answer to the spiritual leaders of Israel. The very ones that should have known the truth were deceived. And that's really what's frightening for the church, is the very people that should have known the truth were the very ones that got deceived. And what should that speak to us today, that the very ones that should know the truth could also be deceived? The Jewish religious leaders were being deceived, and Jesus reveals the deception and the deceiver to them. That's what we're going to read about today. Jesus goes back to Abraham in his story and the covenant promises of God to call out to himself the children of God. So today's story is going to reveal how you can be a legitimate child of God and not be deceived by the other father. The other father is Satan himself. So in John chapter 8, verse 31, Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples." So let's stop there. "You are truly my disciples." Does that mean that there are people who believe that they are his disciples and they're not? Yep, that's what it means. You mean you can think that you're a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ, and be deceived? Yes, you can. And he's going to identify the difference. "You are truly my disciple if," it's a conditional statement, "if you remain faithful to my teachings." If you remain faithful, which means that you have to believe the teachings of Jesus, and you must remain faithful to the teachings of Jesus. And what if you don't? Then you're not truly his disciple. These are his words, not mine. You're not truly his disciple. Could you be deceived? Yes. And you will know the truth. What? You've remained faithful to the teachings, so you know the truth, and the truth sets you free. Remember, Jesus is talking to the Jewish people, and they had the law of Moses, they had the prophets, they had the Old Testament, and let's be honest, they knew the word. They knew the teachings of the Old Testament. They knew. They knew. And Jesus told them, "You will truly be mine if you hold to these teachings that I'm going to give you. And then the truth of the teachings that I give you will set you free from being deceived and free from sin, death, grave, hell." So let's begin here. truth is the antidote to the deception. It always has been, it always will be. Truth is the antidote to the deception. It is the antidote to the deceiver. So if the deceiver, the serpent, bites you, there is an antidote. The antidote is take the truth, set you free. The truth is the power of the light that reveals the powerful deception of the darkness and the lies. But if you didn't have the antidote, if you didn't have the truth, all you would be left with would be the deception. You'd have the lie, and you'd be deceived. And you wouldn't even know you're deceived. And that's the scary part. And what is the truth? I'm going to make a big deal out of this today because the church is struggling. You are truly my disciples. If what? If you remain faithful to this. What's the American church struggling with? This very point. You are truly my disciples. You're truly followers of Christ when you follow the Bible, when you follow the teachings, the word. You are truly my disciples. And what if you don't? You're deceived. Surely the Jewish leaders wouldn't argue with that, would they? So Jesus says, you're truly my disciples if you remain in the truth of my teaching. Nobody's going to argue with that, right? He's doing miracles. I mean, he's doing all kinds of supernatural things. Surely nobody would argue with that then. Would anybody argue with that today? That to be a real follower of Christ, you have to follow the Bible? People are arguing with that every day. A lot of people don't believe that. And it comes like this. People will say to me, maybe you're one of them. You say, I believe in Jesus, I just don't believe in the Bible. Then how in the world would you know about Jesus? Did you watch a documentary on CNN? How did you even know about him? Surely the Jewish leaders won't argue, or will they? This is their response to Jesus' statement about truth and freedom. And by the way, I'm taking John chapter 8 and just walking through it. That's what I'm doing today. So surely they're not going to argue, but maybe they are. Verse 33. But we are Abraham's descendants. We have never been slaves to anyone. Jesus says, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. You can be free. You can be free. Well, I'm not a slave. We're children of Abraham. We've never been slave to anyone. What do you mean you're going to set us free, Jesus? I wonder in that moment, did they forget their own history? We've never been slaves to anyone. They were slaves in Egypt for 400 years before God sent Moses. They've been slaves to Babylon, to Medo-Persians, to the Greeks. And right now, they're under the dominion of Rome. And they have the audacity to look at Jesus and say, I've never been a slave. They're already deceived. But there are two forms of slavery. There's a physical slavery to man that was manifest when they were slaves in bondage of Egypt for 400 years. And there's a spiritual slavery, which is Jesus is most concerned with. There is a spiritual bondage, slavery, to the deceiver. And he's real. And people all the time, how do you get to be in bondage to the deceiver? You believe the lie and you reject the truth. A slave to the devil. Next verse, verse 34. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. They've just said, we're not a slave. How are you going to set us free? Jesus says, I tell you the truth. How do you break the bondage of deception? I tell you the truth. Here it comes. Everyone who sins is a slave of sin. A slave, this is so important. A slave is not a permanent member of the family. But a son is in the family forever. So listen carefully, church. Jesus is going to announce what freedom looks like. And because we're all slaves to sin, we're all by nature sinful, all of us, everybody, I got to find a way to get from this slave to sin. A slave does not have a permanent place in the family. That's what Jesus said. But a son has a place in the family forever. So I need to get out of the slave role and get into the son role, because then I can have a permanent place in the family. So he says this, a slave does not have a permanent place in the family. He's not a permanent member, but the son, he can be in the family forever. So how do I move from slave to son and find a firm, permanent place in the family of God, the children of God? Well, 36 says, so if the son sets you free, if he can take you out of the slavery and bring you over and make you a son, permanent member in the family of God, you are truly free. Now, Jesus reveals a spiritual truth we must all accept today, and it begins with this: everyone who sins is a slave to sin. We're slaves, which means you got a master. You might not acknowledge that, but when you sin, you've got a master, and his name is Satan, and he is a deceiver. Sin has a master. Sin, are you ready? Has a father. Spiritually speaking, sin has a father. And when I say father, sin has a source. It has a power. And it comes from a person, an entity, a being. He's real. And he's the one who fathers, reproduces, sin. And when you fall into sin, you're under the authority of the master, the father, Satan. And sin in itself is a deceiver. It's a deceiver because we know that sin leads to death. God told Adam and Eve, if you sin, you will surely die. Well, nobody wants to die, right? So sin is a deceiver. And what's the deceit? You won't die. Well, you're a liar. But you got deceived, so you sin. And that's what brought sin to mankind. Now that goes back to my original two questions when I started this morning. Would you know it if you were being deceived by Satan? This is the scary part. Would you know it if you were being deceived by Satan? And if so, how would you know? How could you know? Did the Jewish people Jesus is sitting there talking to, we're reading the story, John chapter 8, did they know they were deceived? Because I can tell you they were deceived. Did they know they were deceived? Nope. That's why it's called deception. They didn't know. Jesus knows that the Jewish spiritual leaders are deceived. He knows it. They don't know it, but he knows it. And he's trying to give them the truth that would set them free from the deception. Now, what is the truth that would set them and us free from the deception? Number one, everyone who sins is a slave to sin, which means that's all of us. All of us. At some point in our life, we are born slaves of sin. You don't have to work at it. It just happens. Truth number two, and a slave is not a permanent member of the family, so we've got an eternal life problem. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever. So you cannot become a permanent and eternal member of the family of God and remain a slave to sin. Are you with me? A slave has no permanent place in the family of God. That's what Jesus just said. So if I remain a slave to sin, I cannot be a permanent member of the family of God. But a son, I got to be transferred from this slavery to sin to the freedom of a son, and then I can be in the family forever, right? But I've got to undo this bondage, which means I have to undo the deception. I can no longer be deceived, because that's what sin is. But there's a third truth. If the Son, Jesus says, but if the Son, Jesus, sets you free, you are truly free from sin and death. Free. Free, which means you're not under the deception, because now you see what you couldn't see. You hear what you couldn't hear. You know what you didn't know because he revealed it to you. And then Jesus continues, and he again goes back to Father Abraham and this children of God. Everything today in John 8 is going to, how do you become a child of God? Because a slave has no permanent place in the family. You got to become a son. If you don't become a son, you're not going to be permanent in the family. You're going to have an expiration date. Verse 37, Jesus says, yes, I realize that you are descendants of Abraham. He's talking to the Jewish people, and they count everything the bloodline. I realize that you are descendants of Abraham, and yet some of you are trying to kill me. Why are they trying to kill Jesus? Why? He answers the question, and this is important. You're trying to kill me because there's no room in your hearts for this, my message. There's no room in your hearts for my message, so you're trying to kill me. And when I read that, I think about what he said just a few verses early. He said, you are really my disciples if you remain in my teaching. So the identity of the true disciples of Jesus then and the true disciples of Jesus now are those who have room in their hearts for the teaching. They have room in their hearts for the word. And you're trying to kill me because you have no room in your heart for my teaching, which means you're truly not my disciple, because if you were my disciple, you would remain in my teaching. You would remain in the word. You would believe the word and remain in the word. Verse 38, I'm telling you what I saw when I was with my father, but you're following the advice of your father, a different father. Jesus identifies two fathers, the father of Jesus and the father of lies. There is another father. This is important. Jesus reveals the true motive of their hatred toward him and the rejection of him. It's because of Jesus' message. Some of you are trying to kill me because there's no room in your hearts for this. What about today? Why is there anger toward the church, toward preaching of the gospel today? There's an anger that's rising against the faith of Christianity. Some of you are trying to kill me because there's no room in your hearts for the message. So let's go back to my original two questions. Ready? This is important. Would you know it if you were deceived? And if so, how would you know it? How is it possible to know that you're deceived if you're deceived? It's a real question. You have no room in your heart for my message. Now we're starting to uncover how you can know that you're deceived. You have no room in your heart for my message. These people that Jesus is talking to are deceived. And he identifies the root of the deception. Anybody listening? You have no room in your heart for the message. Why? Because the message contradicts your heart. The message contradicts the lie. You got no room for it. Would that statement of Jesus apply to the world today? Yes. We must understand this truth about the deception of Satan. The message of Jesus, you have no room in your heart for my message. The message of Jesus is Jesus. People tell me, sometimes they say it openly, sometimes they say it without saying it. Preacher, I believe in Jesus, I just don't believe in the Bible. To which I'm getting close to losing my mind. I am. I'm just close to losing my mind. What do you mean? I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe in the Bible. Then what part of Jesus do you believe in? Because you wouldn't know anything about Jesus apart from the Bible. Can you be deceived? He is the message. He is the word. And Jesus says, you're deceived because there's no place in your heart for me. There's no place in your heart for the truth. There's no place in your heart for the light. You only have darkness, you have the lie, and you have the other father. His name is Satan. There is no freedom of sin and death without the message and the person of Christ in our hearts. And how will the religious folks respond to this statement of Jesus? Let's go to the next verse, 39. Our father is Abraham. They keep going back to Abraham. Our father is Abraham. And Jesus said, no. No, he's not. What? No. For if you were really the children of Abraham, you see, Jesus sees everything spiritually. He may be your bloodline father, but he's not your father, spiritually speaking. No. If you were really the children of Abraham, you would follow his example. Instead, you're trying to kill me because I told you what? Why are they trying to kill Jesus? I told you the truth, but you're deceived. And now the deception is in a battle with the truth. And you're in the middle. You're trying to kill me because I told you the truth, which I heard from God, and Abraham never did such a thing. Why are they trying to kill Jesus? This is so important then and now. You're trying to kill me because of this. And let me, you figured this was coming somewhere. I believe what I hold in my hand is the only physical source of absolute truth on the earth. And if you hold this up to the world, this is what happens. You're trying to kill me because I told you the truth. You see, the deception cannot dwell in the presence of truth. Our father is Abraham. Jesus said, no, he's not. A religion and tradition cannot save you. Religion and tradition won't make you a child of God. Religion and tradition will not put you on the olive tree. Let me explain why I say olive tree. The Apostle Paul refers to Israel and Abraham as an olive tree. He refers to them as a God-given olive tree. Abraham, olive tree, produces the children of God. A slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son is in the family forever. So if you want to get to be a son in the family forever, connected to Abraham on the olive tree, Jesus is the only way to get on the tree. You with me? So here we go. Romans 11, 17. But some of the branches from Abraham's tree, there's the olive tree. Some of the branches from Abraham's tree, some of the people of Israel have been broken off. Why? They didn't believe. And you Gentiles, now he's talking to the church. He's talking to every one of us in this room. And now you Gentiles who were previously branches from a wild olive tree, we've been grafted in. So now you also receive the blessing that God has promised Abraham and his children, which means what? You know, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son, but a son. If you can get on this olive tree, you're a child of God. You can live in the family forever. Sharing in the rich nourishment from the root of God's special olive tree. But you church people must not brag about being grafted in to replace the branches that were broken off. And he says this to the church, very humbling for us today. He says, you are just a branch, you are not the root. Church, you are just a branch. We are just a branch, we are not the root. So don't look at Israel. Don't look at them and say, well, they were so foolish to reject the Messiah. You are just a branch. By the grace of God, we got a place on the tree. Only Jesus can make you a child of God. Only Jesus can place you on this special olive tree. But the problem is deception. Why? Why do I say that? Because there is another father. There is another father, a deceiver that practices deception. He is powerful, he is real, and he is not God, but he wants to be. And this is how Jesus responds to their claim that their father is Abraham. They are on the olive tree as the children of God. And Jesus says, no, no, you're not. You're deceived. John 8:41. No, you're not on the tree. You are imitating your real father. And they replied, we aren't illegitimate children. God himself is our true father. And Jesus says, if God were your father, you would love me. Because I have come to you from God. I'm not here on my own, but he sent me. Why can't you understand what I'm saying? It's called deception. It's because you can't even hear me. It's called deception. For you are the children of your father, the devil. It's called deception. And you love to do the evil things he does. It's called deception. He was a murderer from the beginning. He's always hated the truth because there's no truth in him. And when he lies, it's consistent with his character, for he is a liar and he's the father. Notice the word. He's the originator. He births it. He's the father of all lies. It's called deception. So when I, Jesus, tell you the truth, you just naturally don't believe me. Which of you can truthfully accuse me of sin? And since I'm telling you the truth, why don't you believe me? It's called deception. And anyone who belongs to God, here comes the test. All right, this is the breaking point. And anyone who belongs to God listens gladly to the words of God. Do you think they're listening gladly to Jesus' words in this moment? No, they're getting ready to try to kill him. But anyone who belongs to God, here's the test. You want a test today? Do you know if you're being deceived? And how would you know if you're deceived? Anyone who belongs to God listens gladly to the words of God. Y'all glad today? I'm reading it. You glad? But you don't listen because you don't belong to God. Jesus said, you are truly my disciples if, it's conditional, if you remain faithful to my teachings, if you remain faithful to the message, the word. That's the definition of my disciple. That's the definition of a follower of Christ. You're truly, truly, which means you're not deceived, you're not make-believe, you're truly my disciple if you hold to my teaching, and the truth will set you free. Do you see the argument that day? The argument between Jesus and the Jews are who are the legitimate children of God? They thought they were legitimately the children of God because of a genealogical bloodline. My father's 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 father is Abraham. I'm in. You're deceived. They thought religion and ritual would save them. Church, anybody listen? Religion and ritual won't save you. Wouldn't save them, won't save you. So Jesus answers the question about the legitimate children of God. He answers it for them, he answers it for us. Number one, anyone who belongs to God listens gladly to the words of God. You ready? You ready? Anybody who belongs to God listens gladly to the words of God. Listens gladly. Can I ask you all a question? This past week, how much time did you spend reading the Bible? Is it possible you're deceived? Anyone who belongs to God listens gladly to the words of God. Well, if you belong to God, then you would gladly listen to the words of God. You'd be in some Bible study. You'd be reading the Bible, right? And if your answer right now, please don't answer out loud. It'd get kind of awkward in here. But if you would say to yourself, I never read the Bible this week. I haven't read the Bible this month. Would you know it if you were deceived? Number two, Then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Are you free? From the bondage of sin, death, grave, hell, are you free? Do you feel free? Because you knew the truth. And you're free from what? I'm free from the deception. I know about the lie. I know about the liar. I know about the other father. I know, so I'm free. I know what he looks like. I understand. So when he comes to deceive, I've already picked him out. I know what he looks like. I know he looks like a liar. And number three, a slave is not a permanent member of the family, but the son is part of the family forever. So let's stop again and ask two questions. Would you know it if you were being deceived by Satan? I'm giving you the criteria. I'm not giving you the criteria. Jesus is giving you the criteria. Would you know it if you were being deceived? If so, how would you know it? So I'm going to add a third question. Okay, this is when it gets interesting. You ready? You might as well go along because you're not getting out of here until we finish. So here's the third question. How do you feel about the Bible? Be honest. How do you feel about the Bible? Well, it's a big book. Now, how do you feel about the Bible? The Word was the issue between Jesus and the Jewish people. Do you see it? I hope you do. The Word was the issue between Jesus and the Jewish people on that day, and the Word is the issue between the world and the followers of Christ today. It's the same. It's the Word. So how do you feel about the Bible? Listen carefully again to the statement of Jesus to the religious people of his day. It applies today. I'm going to repeat verse 47. Anyone who belongs to God, okay, if you don't belong to God, you belong to the other father. Jesus made that clear. It's only two choices, two fathers, two spirits, two fathers. Anyone who belongs to God listens gladly to the word of God, but you don't listen because you don't belong to God. So how do you feel about the Bible? How do you feel about the Bible? So how did they respond? Y'all are pretty quiet, so how did they respond? Verse 48, they got mad. The people retorted. That's like snorting. They retorted, "You Samaritan devil." He's calling them out. "You Samaritan devil, didn't we say all along you're possessed by a demon?" "No," Jesus said, "no. I have no demon in me, for I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And though I have no wish to glorify myself, God is going to glorify me. He is the true judge, and I tell you the truth." There it is. "I tell you the truth." That's it. That's it. He is the truth. And what is the truth? Anyone who obeys my teachings, he's going to crank it up to it. They've already called him Samaritan devil. It doesn't get much worse than that in that culture. "You Samaritan devil." He's not backing up. He's taking it up another notch. Listen to what he says. If you obey my teachings, what I'm telling you, the words of my mouth are so powerful that if you receive them and believe them, you will never die. They already thought he had a demon. Now they think he's nuts. Right? I'm going to read it to you. Now they think he's nuts. "I tell you the truth." Is this truth? "If you obey my teaching," church, you think this has the application to us? How do you feel about the Bible? "If you obey my teachings, you'll never die." And how would any of us today know how to obey the teachings of Jesus without this book? How would you know? You wouldn't, would you? And how big do you think this statement of Jesus is? I tell you the truth, anyone who obeys my teaching will never die. So let's go back to the three questions. Would you know it if you were being deceived by Satan? Number one. And if so, how would you know it? Number two. And number three, how do you feel about the Bible? Anyone who obeys my teachings will never die. That's quite an offer. That's quite an offer. That's kind of bigger than the fountain of youth kind of a thing. You know, you'll never die. Do you understand why they were trying to kill Jesus? Do you really understand why they were trying to kill Jesus? Their father was the devil, and the devil is a liar. And listen, the devil is a murderer. So the devil, through the deceived people, are trying to kill Jesus. It's real. It's real. Do you understand why there's so much hatred toward the church and the Bible today? The spirit power, there is a spirit power that wants you to die. Do you understand that? There's a spirit power. It's real. He's real. He's an entity. He's a being. He's greater and more powerful than we are on our own. There is a spirit power that wants you to die. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he wants you to die. He uses deception. There is a spirit power that murders you by how? By how? Listen carefully. By keeping you away from the truth. If he can keep you away from the truth by deceiving you, he can kill you. You with me? All he has to do to kill you is keep you away from the truth that would make you live, and you will naturally die. There is a spirit power of deception, and it is the power of death that keeps you from receiving the power of life. That's all Satan has to do. He has to keep you from receiving the power of life. And what is the power of life? The Word. This is not just letters in a book. This is life. This is life. And I'm going to show you in a minute what I mean by that. This is not the end of this encounter between Jesus and the religious folks that day. They've called him a Samaritan devil. They say he's got a demon. So I want you to notice that the conversation, again, goes back to Abraham, back to the special olive tree that produces the children of God. A slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son. If you can get over here and be a son, you can be in the family forever. Verse 52, the people said, "Now we know you're possessed by a demon." Why? Why are they saying that? Because he says, if you obey my teachings, you'll never die. Is he a liar or is he telling the truth? You obey my teachings, you'll never die. Now we know that you're possessed by a demon. Even Abraham and the prophets died. They died. But you say anyone who obeys my teachings will never die? You must have a demon. Here comes the question. Actually, there's two questions. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. That's question number one. Are you greater than Abraham? Question number two, who do you think you are? Can I give you some counsel? Never ask that question of Jesus. It's a bad idea. Who do you think you are? That's $1 million eternal life question of the day. Are you greater than our father Abraham? And who do you think you are? If you can come to know the true answer of those two questions, church, if you personally can come to know the true answer to those two questions, you have found the truth that can set you free from the deception of Satan and lead you to eternal life. Jesus is going to answer their question, but it's going to make them even more angry than they were already. And by the way, I can tell you Jesus' response, he's getting mad too. As I read this, I want you to notice something. They are angry. You're a Samaritan devil. I know you're possessed by a demon. You say that whoever obeys your teaching is never going to die. Are you greater than Abraham? Who do you think you are? Now, Jesus is getting mad. He's got a righteous anger. Verse 54. Jesus answered, if I want glory for myself, it doesn't count. But it is my Father who will glorify me. And you say, he is our God. But you don't even know him. Ooh, this is heating up even more. You don't even know him. I know him. If I said otherwise, I'd be as great a liar as you. But I do know him and I obey him. Listen, church, I see something in that sentence. Jesus is directly connecting knowledge of God to the obedience of God's word. I know him and I obey him. Anybody listening? I know him. And the proof that I know him is that I obey him. There's a connection. I do know him and obey him. And your father, here's when they're going to go crazy. Your father Abraham rejoiced as he looked forward to my coming. He, Abraham, saw me. And was glad. You must realize something to understand Jesus' answer to their two questions. Are you greater than our father Abraham? And who do you think you are? Jesus is 2,000 years after Abraham. Are y'all with me? He's 2,000 years after Abraham. And he just said, your father Abraham rejoiced and looked forward to my coming. He saw it and he was glad. In other words, Jesus says, me and Abraham were like this. We've been together. Yeah, that's been 2,000 years ago. Yeah, we were together. Let me ask you a question. When you read that, do you think they got it? That he's saying I am pre-existent, that I was here before I was with Abraham? Do you think they got it? Let me assure you, they got it. You know how I know? Because I can read. They got it. Verse 57, the people said, you aren't even 50 years old. How can you say you've seen Abraham? They got it. They understood what he was saying. You aren't even 50 years old. How can you say you've seen Abraham? And Jesus answered, I love this, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. And Jesus says, I tell you the truth. How do you kill the deception? You tell the truth. Before Abraham was even born, I am. Do you think they understood what that meant? Yes, they understood what he meant. Before Abraham was even born, I am. That would make Jesus more than 2,000 years old. And that name, I am, that would make him the person who appeared to Moses in the burning bush some 1,500 years before this meeting between Jesus and the Jews. I am. Is Jesus 2,000 years old? And is he the I am that revealed himself to Moses in the bush? Do you think they got it? Do you think they understood what he was actually saying, or was it over their head? Let me tell you, they got it because they picked up stones to stone him. They tried to kill him. Why? Because the deception had confronted the truth. It had confronted the truth. They picked up stones to stone Jesus, but they couldn't do it. Why? Why? How would you answer the question? They picked up stones to kill him. Do you think they didn't know how to throw rocks? They knew how to throw rocks. Why? He is I am. He is more than 2,000 years old. And he is the one who revealed himself to Moses. He is the eternal one. He is the ancient of days. And he is I am. This will be a great time to ask those three questions one more time. Would you know it if you were being deceived by Satan? Because nobody in the group that day did. The Jewish leaders, they didn't know. They're calling the I Am a Samaritan devil. They're deceived. Even when he tells them the truth, they're still deceived. And if you are deceived, how would you know it? And how do you feel about the Bible? So here's my closing. When Jesus does the Olivet Discourse, just a couple of days before he goes to die on the cross, he gives an end of days warning. Okay? And I believe we're in the end of days. He gives a warning. Matthew 24, verse 4. And Jesus answered, watch out. When the Son of God says, watch out, it's a good idea for you to watch out. Watch out for what? Watch out that no one deceives you, which tells you what? It's possible, even probable. There will be a power that tries to deceive you. So Jesus says, watch out. Look at verse 5. For many will come in my name. This is the end of days prophecy. Olivet Discourse. Many will come in my name claiming I am the Messiah and will deceive many. Many will come in my name. Let me tell you, that could be a preacher. It's not just somebody saying, I'm Jesus. It's somebody that comes and says they speak for Jesus. And if they come and speak for Jesus, here's the counsel. Watch out. Test the spirit. Test the words of all preachers, including me. Test my words. You know, it is my plan on the back of that bulletin. It's in your phone center, church center app. Every scripture that I plan to use every Sunday is in there. Why? I want you to test the scriptures. I want you to read them. On the back of the bulletin, everything I plan to use, unless I just pull something off the top of my head, is on that list. Why? Test the scriptures. You read it. Why? Because many will come in my name and they will deceive many. They will be nice people. Listen, church, listen carefully to what I'm about to say. They will be some of the nicest people you've ever met in your life. And they will deceive you. That's how Satan does it. They will look like your friends. They will look like they're out to help you. And they will deceive you. Test every spirit. Test everything against what? Against this. Test everything against this. Nice people can be deceived. Test the spirit. Let me give you a tragic example. I wish I didn't have to give this example, but I need to. Let me give you a tragic example. The deceiver might be a governor of a state. And he might be the nicest guy you've ever met. He'd be your best friend, neighbor, living next door. But he might be a governor of a state who signs an executive order banning conversion therapy. But he seems like such a nice guy. But he's deceived. He doesn't know he's deceived. He's still a nice guy. But he's deceived. But when I look at his actions, the fruit of his tree, compared to this word of truth, he's deceived. Let me go another step. I watched our governor make a speech at the Democratic National Convention. I watched it personally. And in that speech, he quotes the Bible two times. I heard him with my own ears. He quotes the Bible two times. And he quotes the scripture to justify LGBTQ lifestyle, which is in direct violation of everything that God's word says for mankind. But he uses the scripture to validate his political position on homosexuality, lesbianism, and the mutilation of children. And if that's not bad enough, if that's not enough, understand while he's making that speech, just outside the convention is a mobile abortion clinic. It's on wheels. And they were offering free abortions that night while he's quoting scripture from the stage twice. Outside, there's a free abortion clinic. You can walk in and you can sacrifice your child to Moloch and to Satan. Oh, you don't know. They don't say Moloch and they don't say Satan, but abortion is child sacrifice. Let there be no doubt. It's clear if you're not deceived. Test every spirit. And by the way, let me say this. This would be a good point to say it next week. I will preach a sermon specifically about the upcoming presidential election. Specifically. And if that makes you nervous and the hair standing on the back of your neck right now, then stay home next Sunday. But I'm going to preach it anyway. The Son of God said, watch out. Many will come in my name and they will deceive many. Watch out. Beware. Be very careful. There is a deceiver. There is a deception. And that deception worked on Israel and it'll work on you if you're not careful. And how does the deception work? How? This is the scariest part of it all. Really? If I could melt down the scariest portion, this is it, what I'm about to tell you. You think you're right and you are dead wrong. You think you're right and you are dead wrong. Because you have not tested the Spirit. You have not tested it. You've taken your truth from the world instead of taking your truth from the standard of God that was given to the world. Let me show it to you. It's in Matthew 6:22. These are the teachings of Jesus. And he says something. I want to make sure everybody gets this. Your eye is a lamp that provides light for your body. So a few minutes ago, I asked you, how do you feel about the Bible? Here's why I want to make the connection. When I open the Bible and I read the Bible, something supernatural occurs. The Word of God is alive. To open the Bible is to encounter God. It is to experience God. Do you understand that? The church used to know that. The church used to believe that. So when I open the Bible, what happens is I read, and there are two portals to the human soul. One is your eyes, one is your ear. And when I read the Bible, the light of the Word of God penetrates the portal of my soul and comes and drives out my darkness. The truth comes to drive out the lies. And when I listen to the Word, the same thing happens. It enters the portal of my soul. So deception becomes very difficult when it is exposed to truth and light. And here's what Jesus says. Your eye is a lamp that provides light for your body. So here's the light. I'm reading. And when I read, the light enters inside my body, inside my soul. The light is a lamp that provides light for your soul. So when your eye is good, when what's coming in is good, when it's true, your whole body, this is spirit, soul, mind, your whole body's filled with light, right? Because I'm putting the light inside. But what if I'm not putting the light in? What if I'm putting dark in, and dark is determining the truth? It's absent of the light. It's absent. He says this, but when your eye's bad, your whole body's filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep is that darkness? That is deception. If the light you think you have is actually darkness and you don't know it, you think you're right, but you're dead wrong. If the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep is that darkness? Why is that scary? Because you don't know you're lost. You think you're saved. You are truly my disciples if you hold to my teachings. How you feel about the Bible? That's how the devil does it. That's why it's called deception. That's how he did it to Israel with Jesus standing right in front of them. Can you imagine? Jesus standing there. And they still don't see him. They're so deceived. That's how he does it. You think you're right and you're dead wrong. Watch out, watch out, watch out, watch out. Watch out for the deceiver. Why did Jesus say watch out? Why did the apostle John also say the same thing? Watch out. Why all the warnings? If you cannot be deceived, why are you being warned? In 2 John 1, verse 7, I say this because many deceivers have gone out into the world. They deny that Jesus came in a real body, and what that means is they deny that Jesus is God in the flesh. They deny that Jesus came in a real body, and such a person is a deceiver, and he is an antichrist. Watch out. Watch out that you do not lose what you have worked so hard to achieve. Watch out. Be diligent so that you will receive your reward. And anyone, listen, here's a warning. It's a warning. Anyone who wanders away from this teaching, and I'm going to hold it as long as my arm can go. Anyone who wanders away from this teaching has no relationship with God. A son, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son has a place in the family forever. Whoever wanders away from this teaching has no relationship with God, but anyone who remains in the teaching, remains in the word. Teach, what teaching? This teaching. Anyone who remains in the teaching of Christ has a relationship with both the Father and the Son. Watch out. Watch out for what? That you could be drawn away from the truth and follow the liar. I feel so much pressure on the church right now to go along with the world. So much political pressure to go along with the world. Just go along with the world. Quit fighting. Can't we just all get along? We're in a spiritual war. This is heaven and hell. This is about eternity. Watch out that the light you think you have is not actually darkness. And how do I watch out? By testing every spirit. Test everything against the word of God so that you would not be deceived. Test everything. And you can't test everything if you don't know this book. In 1 John 4, verse 1, it says, "Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. Do not believe everything that's everyone who says, 'Hey, I got a word for you, preacher. I got a word for you.' Do not test it. Test everything. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God. For there are many false prophets in the world. And they might seem like the nicest people you've ever met. They may be the friendliest. Everything looks so good and they're deceived." Watch out. Test everything against the Bible, against the Word. That's in 2 John 1, verse 9. I want to read it again. Anyone who wanders away from this teaching has no relationship with God. But anyone who remains in the teaching of Christ has a relationship with the Father and the Son. So here's the questions one last time. Would you know it if you were being deceived by Satan? And if so, how would you know? And how do you feel about the Bible? Be honest. How you feel about the Bible? And by the way, there's one more question. How do you feel about that special olive tree of Abraham that produces the forever blood-bought children of the Most High God? So when I bring up the olive tree today, I wonder how many of you, how do you feel about Abraham olive tree? A slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son, he's in the family forever. How do I get on the tree? Are you on the tree? Do you want to be on the tree? In Galatians 3:7, it says, "Understand then that those who believe..." Believe what? called the gospel. It's the message of Jesus Christ. And those who believe are the children of Abraham. They're believers. What do they believe? That everyone who sins is a slave to sin, and that would be all of us. And a slave has no permanent member in the family, but a son, he could be in the family forever. And that's that olive tree. And if the Son sets you free, are you free? I look around the room and I ask you, are you free? Because if the Son sets you're free indeed. Forever, you're free. But I have to ask the question, what if you don't? And what if this message today doesn't do anything for you? That's whatever. I wonder how fast I can get to a restaurant after he shuts up. Whatever. I'm going to ask you a question, very hard question. What if I knew for sure a way to keep you from dying and I didn't tell you and you died? What kind of a man would I be? And what if I knew for sure that if you die in your sins, outside of this olive tree called the children of God, you die a slave to sin? What if I knew for sure a way for you to get on that olive tree? What if I knew for sure, absolutely I know for sure, about Jesus and how to be sanctified and redeemed and your sins forgiven and wiped away and a blood-bought child of the Most High God, and I knew and I didn't tell you what, and you died and you went to hell, what kind of a person would I be? And you know what? That doesn't just apply to Terry Cooper, the preacher. What if you knew how to save somebody from eternal death and you didn't tell that person in your family about it? Who are you? And what if you know somebody, you work with somebody, you got somebody in your family, it's your father, it's your mother, it's your son, your daughter, your sister, your brother, your next door neighbor, and you know about heaven and hell. So I ask you what I started with today. Do you want to go to heaven because you don't want to go to hell? It's the wrong answer. You see, the reality is that he's made a way for us to go to heaven because we got to know him while we were in the wilderness. And we loved him so much in the wilderness that our heart's desire was we would never, ever want to be separated from him again. And that's why I want to go to heaven. Because that's where the one who loves my soul lives. Last scripture, John 8:23. Jesus continued, you are from below. I am from above. You belong to this world. I do not. That is why I said, you will die in your sins. This is eternal death. This is hell. You will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am who I claim to be, you will die in your sins. And today, somebody told you the truth. Who are you, they demanded. Who are you? I am the one I have always claimed to be. I'll ask Chad to come out for the invitation. When I started this message this morning, it was with Jesus saying, you are really my disciples, truly my disciples, if you remain faithful to my teachings. And the reason I close with that, this is the battle of the church in America in the last days. And it's the battle of all of us in the room today. Will you, in the midst of this great spiritual war, will you hold on to this? Will you hold on to the, will truth be determined in your life by this? Or will truth be determined in your life by political powers or influence or party, whoever? Where will your truth come from? There is a deceiver. There is a truth. And the battle for America, the battle for the church, Everything will be the word. Do you believe the Bible to be the word of God? And do you believe that that will be the standard by which we will all one day be judged? Yes or no? You see, you're in or you're out. This is not part-time stuff. So we're going to sing a song. It's an invitation time. I have no idea what a message like this does to people. But I just know I have to preach it. I have to tell you. I have to tell you. What you do with it will be on you, but I have to tell you. See, I make no apology. You know me? I believe the return of Christ is imminent. That scripture I quoted you at the end of last week, it happened again this week. It happened last night. That same scripture, again, the Lord impressed upon me. It's Revelation 11:15. And the seventh angel sounded the trumpet, and there were loud shouts in heaven. What are they shouting? Now the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. To which I say, come, Lord Jesus, come. You ready? You know the truth? Are you free? You playing a silly game? So we're offering an invitation. It's not an invitation to me. It's not an invitation to a Christian church. It's an invitation to Jesus Christ. That he be your Lord, your King, your Master, your Savior, your everything, your breath, your eternal future. Father in heaven, save us. If you don't save us, we will forever be lost. If you don't open our eyes, we'll never see. The deceiver's too powerful. If you don't open our ears, we'll never know. The deceiver's too powerful. So Father, redeem us, save us. Have mercy upon us. If there's anybody here today, Lord, that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, call them today while there's still time. I pray in Jesus' name and amen. Let's stand.